All right, it is time now for one of my favorite parts of the Combine, getting to sit down with the legendary Greg Cosell from NFL Films. Greg, how you doing?
Well, after that introduction, I don't know. How am I doing?
You're doing great.
I guess you'll be the judge of that after I'm done talking.
We literally have people who have called the show, who tweet the show, who have said, when will you guys have the Cosell interview? There's a guy, no kidding, tweeted me this morning, said, I need to know when you're airing it so I can build my day around it. So
wow.
This is the kind of cachet you have in Cleveland.
I think that guy needs a hobby.
I hear golf is a wonderful hobby out there. All right, Greg, let's talk about, as we always do, and for the Browns, it seems this question remains eternal or ongoing, omnipresent, the quarterbacks. And I know nobody watches film like you do on these quarterbacks, and one of the very most respected voices in terms of film study on the position. So let's get into it. But first, I know from talking to you yesterday, maybe a little bit of a slight change in your process to keep it interesting to you.
Yeah, I mean, every year I try to figure out how I want to watch quarterbacks because, you know, being fortunate to be able to see the coaching tape, obviously I watch full games and every drop back. But this year I tried to do it a little more situationally as well. Like I looked at all third downs because obviously that's a big down in the NFL. I also took a look at all 15-plus yard plays by these top 5-6 quarterbacks because I wanted to see how they made their good plays, particularly in an era where it seems more and more quarterbacks, Nathan, are so-called second reaction outside of structure players. And I wanted to get a feel for how – you know, if quarterbacks are making a lot of plays that way, because smart, reasonable people will disagree on the relative value of that in evaluating quarterbacks. There are some guys who believe that, hey, if my quarterback can't function efficiently in the pocket, no matter what he can do outside with second reaction plays, then it's going to be really hard for him to be consistent week to week because I'm building a game plan and I'm building a game plan for a reason.
Absolutely.
So, and then there's other people I talk to, as I said, really smart, reasonable people, decision makers in the league, who will say, the first thing they'll say to me about a guy is, oh, we love him because of his ability to get out of the pocket and run around and make plays. So now it becomes a philosophy because smart people disagree on this, and that's why it's so hard. People say to me, well, give me your top five. It's hard for me to say that because people have different world views of what they want in the quarterback position.
Absolutely, and that's a big change. I think one thing I would say is over time, if you want to be successful in the NFL for a decade, have a run, you need to be able to win from the pocket. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Consistently.
Yes, I definitely would agree with that. And this is where I think a number of other factors, though, do come into play. And I'm a big believer in coaching, so that always, to me, comes into play. But then it also comes down to the nature of a team. I think if you're a quarterback on a team, and this may not be the Browns situation, we're just talking a little more generally now, but I think that if you're on a team that, let's say, has great defense and a big-time runner who you want to give the ball to 20 times a game, then what you ask your quarterback to do might be a little different than if you're on a team where you feel that you have to put up, you know, 27 points every week in order to compete. So I think there's so many variables, and I'm just giving you one there. There's many others. But I think there's so many factors that go in to a specific team drafting a quarterback and how they see a quarterback. The other thing is, coaches have systems because coaches coach what they know.
That's right.
You know, I was actually taught that at a very early age by someone we both know very well who's been a mentor to me, Al Saunders.
Yeah.
Okay, Al's one of my favorite people. I've known Al for a really long time. He's taught me an absolute ton of football because he's been in the NFL, I think, since, what, 78 or 79?
Since I was born.
Yeah, so he's taught me a ton of football, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to him for what he's taught me. And I remember him telling me years ago, coaches coach what they know. So when a coach looks at a quarterback and evaluates him, they see him in the context of their offense.
Yep.
So it's not just, oh, he's got a big arm, he can do this, he can do that. It's how can he run my offense? And that's the way coaches see it. So it's adaptability to scheme.
But for you, when you watch it, you don't have such biases.
I try to think of all those things. Right. I try to think of all those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into these quarterback prospects. And what I want to ask you first, and we'll start there, is who is the best of these prospects you've evaluated from structure in the pocket?
I would say Josh Rosen would probably fit that the best because he's a very refined, nuanced, disciplined player. That's the nature of his game. He's a drop-back quarterback. Now, he has movement ability outside the pocket. He was a tennis player, so it's not as if he's a statue. there might be some concern with him that his pocket movement, which is different than running outside the pocket.
Sure.
Pocket movement is generally, you know, think of maybe an area that's smaller than a boxing ring, but like that, a confined space where quarterbacks have to move to avoid while still keeping their focus down the field. Tom Brady, who's obviously not a great athlete the way we think of athletes, is phenomenal at pocket movement. Rosen, there's a little bit of a question about that. Some people are concerned that because at this point he doesn't exhibit that trait real well, that he might get hit a lot. But as far as being refined, dropping back, hitting that back foot, throwing with a sense of timing, anticipation, feel, those traits normally translate to the NFL.
Yeah, and that's why I wonder, in some cases you read a lot of the write-ups on Josh Rosen, and even from hearing from you, this guy's the best in the pocket, best natural thrower.
Yep.
We've heard that, best
very
motion.
Very natural thrower.
And yet he is not, it doesn't seem anyway, the consensus number one guy coming in and has a lot of questions.
And I think there's the personality stuff, which I can't get into because I'm not going to sit down with Josh Rosen and spend, you know, a lot of time with him that way. But I think the point you're making is a great one, because this gets into that balance now between second reaction outside of structure versus pocket efficiency. And years ago, the line there was extreme to pocket efficiency. Now I think we're in a situation where a lot more people look at second reaction as being, I don't want to say more important, but more important than it was 10 or 12 years ago.
Yeah, like you need to have the ability to extend plays.
Yes, yes. So that's my point. It comes down to philosophy now. So Rosen is clearly, to me, the most refined pocket efficient quarterback in this draft class. Whether that means people see him as the best prospect in the class, that's a philosophy issue.
Exactly, and we'll see, I guess, when the names are called. Let's go to the guy who does seem to be regarded by many as the top prospect, Sam Darnold. Now, he's a guy that might not be the best pocket guy, might not be the best athlete, but seems to be the best maybe combination of every trait you would want.
Yeah, and he's big, which obviously people like. The way I would describe Sam Darnold, and I had a chance, and I have my notes here, I actually watched six games last summer from his 2016 season and a number of games from this year, plus all third downs and all 15-plus, as I said. And the way I would describe him is he's more of a baller than a technician.
Yep.
You know, he's not a real disciplined pocket player. His mechanics, particularly lower body mechanics, need some retooling.
Which is what he's supposedly working on and
correct.
Why
he's
not
working
throwing.
With Jordan Palmer, who's phenomenal. I know Jordan very well, Carson's brother. And Jordan does a great, great job with quarterbacks. So we'll see where that goes, because Darnold at this point misses too many routine throws with a lack of precise ball placement because he's not really that disciplined with his mechanics. Now, I've always believed you can fix lower body. You're not going to change the way guys throw a football. Now, he has an odd delivery, but I wouldn't call it slow. It's probably elongated.
But still quick.
But it's still quick, exactly. It's quick within the way he throws it.
Right.
So, you know, are there a few passes here and there where it really looks bad? Yes. But I wouldn't say his delivery is slow by any means. But he's clearly a guy that can make plays outside of structure. But I think there's a little bit of a reckless nature to his game at this point. So now you get into coaching. Because everybody's different. I'm not a believer in playing to improvisation. In other words, I think with a guy like Darnold, you have to coach him hard to be disciplined, nuanced, efficient. And then the other stuff becomes the parachute. Not, oh, wow, he can make plays. Let's let him run around and make plays.
Right.
I think you have to start with the structure and let the other stuff be the parachute.
Yeah, and I think that's what led to some of the turnovers this year. Certainly trying to throw the ball into places. Maybe he shouldn't try to make too many plays for a USC team that might have been more depleted than you'd expect a USC team to be.
You know, and at times, he seemed to have a blind spot between the numbers. I looked at all of his interceptions, too, over the last couple of years, and a lot of them came in the middle of the field. But then I think back to someone like Matt Ryan coming out of BC, who his last year at BC threw a lot of interceptions and also at the time seemed to have a blind spot in the middle of the field, and he's kind of done okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is where coaching and development, you know, he's still a young kid. I think, isn't Darnold 20?
20 years old.
So, and that's a huge factor here is that's why coaching is so critical, because here's a kid who is really a moldable piece of clay. I've heard great things about the kid. So, you know, he's a very good prospect. He has things that clearly need to be worked on. And I even said, you know, in my transition, I said that, where did I say it? I said that he's an exciting, tantalizing prospect, but not a can't miss. Because there's things that you don't know for sure that he can work through. But if he works through them, he could be a really good pro quarterback.
So it'll be interesting to see the evaluations of John Dorsey and company there. So we talked about Allen. We've talked about Darnold. Let's talk about the guy that some people, actually I'd say a lot of people that I respect, think might be the top quarterback in this draft class, and a name that when we ask people who could the Browns could be interested in, we hear Darnold and we hear Baker Mayfield. And Baker Mayfield is a guy that, you know, fiery competitor, clearly productive college quarterback. Yeah. When you watch Baker Mayfield, because you hear Johnny Manziel, when I watch him, there, I don't, there's nothing.
There's no again, good. Let's put aside the personality stuff. I don't know the kids, okay? That comparison on tape doesn't hold water at all.
Agreed.
And here's what really did it for me. As I said, I watched the third downs and the 15-plus. I think he had maybe 125 15-plus yard plays. I would say that all of them, except maybe six or seven, were all within structure and timing. And when I came away from watching those, I was like, wow, this kid plays in the pocket. Now, his feet are frenetic, and I think that's just in his DNA. I think just that's the way he moves.
Yeah, very energetic.
That's a good word. He's very energetic. I wouldn't call him chaotic. His feet move a lot. But he doesn't leave. He just moves his feet. You know, it's almost like, I'm not comparing him to Peyton Manning, but I remember for years Peyton Manning, everybody said, oh, you know, he's very jumpy in the pocket. That was just his natural way. You know, I think that's just Baker Mayfield's natural way. But he's got a very compact delivery. He's got a good arm. I think people have gone overboard because there was a time people said he didn't have a good arm, so now everybody said he has a gun. He doesn't have a gun, but he's got a good arm.
Yeah.
He's
accurate down the field.
And that's the other point that's so critical, is he's an accurate thrower. And I remember having a conversation years and years ago with Troy Aikman, and he really delineated it so clearly. He said, you could do everything right as a quarterback, but if you can't throw it where you want to, you don't have anything. And Baker Mayfield is an accurate thrower, and he can throw seam balls. He's really good with those kind of firm touch throws,
yep.
You know, that seam balls like that. So I came away from watching his tape, and I kept watching more because I enjoyed watching him.
He's fun to watch.
I really like Baker Mayfield on tape.
Would it shock you if he ended up being the number one overall pick?
No, it wouldn't.
Would you, when you look at those three that we've discussed, is he the guy that you have the most comfort with what you like out of a quarterback?
I would probably still have to say that Josh Rosen might be my personal favorite, and maybe that's just left over from the fact that I'm a little older guy, Nathan, so I go back to the era when, you know, it was the troop, you know, the Steve Bartkowskis in 1978, okay? But that's a personal thing. But no, I would not be surprised. Look, if the Browns, you and I don't know what the Browns are going to do.
No.
But if they love